Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and we are delighted to have you in our listening audience. With me tonight is Rick Popejoy, who is filling in for David Harris, who is out of town presently. Rick Popejoy is one of the preachers there at the 9th and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo. He works with evangelism there, and we are really delighted to have him in our audience. And as I mentioned, he's filling in for David. I'd like to mention to you and our listening audience, I want you to be praying for our good friend David Harris. On February the 20th, he is going to be going through a bone marrow transplant to try to rid himself of that horrible cancer that he's been fighting with for several years now. We want you to pray for him. We want you to pray for his sweet wife, Joy, that they will be able to have the courage and strength to get through the days ahead. And David's going to be with us a couple more weeks after this week. And then on February the 20th, he's going to go through his transplant. And so he'll be out of commission for a while. And we'll have various fill-in speakers to fill in for him. All of these men will be good, sound in the faith, and we know you'll enjoy them. But we're going to miss David for that period of time. But we know he's going to be doing the right thing in trying to free himself of cancer so he can be working in God's kingdom for years to come. We want you to remember that this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call if you have a question or comment is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And we want you to remember that we are airing on the HPR network, on KTX 97.7 FM, and also KNNK 100.5. We're also airing on Internet Radio at knowthetruthradio.org, and so we encourage you to listen in. We also want to remind you that you can join in on the chat box and be involved in chatting with us on various issues and questions coming up. And we also want to encourage you to remember our additional sponsors, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. Our motto is, and will always be, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. You know, Rick, I was asked by a sweet lady the other day to address the problem that we're going to be looking at today for a while. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are having a hard time with the issue of the importance of the church. There are a lot of people that think that the church is not really all that important. All you need to do is really love God and be a loving person, and that the church is not really that important. But I'm gonna, I might call you David a few times tonight. But, Rick, you know, the Bible has a great deal to say about the importance of the church, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And, by the way, let me say, first of all, that it's my pleasure to be here with you tonight, and especially not filling in the shoes of David, but certainly filling in for him while he's gone. And we certainly send out our prayers for him and his family. And David is the kind of man that we would certainly do whatever we possibly could, have a great deal of love and appreciation and admiration for him. And so we send out our prayers to him as well. But in regards to the question of the importance of the church, I do think that you're right, that a lot of people, they just don't get it when it comes to what the Bible has to say concerning the New Testament church. And they're caught up, I think, in the motto of this, what this entire program is all about. You've heard what men say.
Mm-hmm.
And they've heard what men have said. And they like what men have said, because men have a tendency, when it comes to God's rules, their first thought is to lessen those rules rather than preach what the Bible has to say.
Mm-hmm.
So you've heard what men have to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say.
Exactly. You know, and I think also, Rick, there are a lot of people who, when they do think the church is important, that they're involved in treating the church more like some kind of a social club, you know, and you hear a lot about things that please me and make me want to feel good, but in reality, the Lord's church and worship, it's all about giving glory and honor to our Creator. And we're going to see in a little while from the Scriptures that God has a certain view of the church and how it's important to Him. And we need to have that same kind of attitude toward the church. It's more than just a social club. And it is important. It's vitally important.
It's absolutely essential for any spiritual well-being. I mean, there's absolutely no connection or relationship to God that can be had outside of the New Testament church that is of any value
right. Eternally
to that person. Now, you can have a relationship with somebody, but it can be a hostile one.
Yes.
Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10 talks about being released from the wrath of God, or that hostile relationship that we would have with God. You know, I've made this point in preaching locally in congregations, and that is that, you know, if you're looking for some help in time of a disaster, you can get that from the church, and there's certainly a beautiful benevolence in regards to the people of God. But if that's all you're looking for, then my suggestion is find the local Red Cross. You know, and if you're looking for just a place to stay for the night, and that's all you're looking for, and you're looking for a handout of a meal, and that's all you're looking for, my suggestion is why not the Salvation Army?
Yeah,
but that's really not what the church is about. Now, listen, we don't mind. We enjoy. It is a part of our nature as being trying to seek and imitate God in benevolence. But that's not what the church is all about. It's just benevolence or aid or something such as that. There is a spiritual aid that is of great value, and so it is important that we understand what the church is, so that we can help people understand what it is as well.
Exactly. And for us to really know what the church is all about, Rick, there's only one source we can go to, isn't it?
That's right.
And that's the Word of God. And so as we begin to look at this, what we're going to be doing tonight is looking at the Scriptures to find out just how essential and how important the church is. Now, remember, the number to call tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And from looking here at the chat box, it sounds as though there are some people who are having a hard time picking us up on the Internet tonight. But I'm sure that Louise is going to have that fixed. And so if you will stay tuned and keep in with us, I'm sure that Louise is going to have that fixed and up and running good. Already some have said it sounds better. Well, that's somebody better with a question mark. But if you hang in there, I'm sure it's going to be going well soon. Well, Rick, when we talk about the essentiality and the importance of the Lord's church, one of the ways that we can see this is Christ's own attitude toward the church. Now, we're to emulate Him, right? We are to be like Him. We are to have the mind of Christ. And so the way Christ looks at the church is the way we ought to look at the church.
Absolutely.
And so when we think about this and how important the church is, perhaps we might want to start in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, notice just how important the church is to our Lord. It says there, "Take heed therefore," and we're reading in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God," and notice this, "which he purchased with his own blood." Now, Rick, what was the purchase price of the church?
Specifically, he says here it is his blood, which refers to the sacrifice that he made on the cross. There are a number of passages that talk about how important our relationship to God is through the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think of just a couple of passages here. Say, for example, John 14 and verse number 6. Very familiar passage. But that passage teaches that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by or through him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is it that about him that brings that? Peter talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received from the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And so the blood of Christ, the sacrifice that he made upon the cross, was the appeasing factor in releasing us in the mind of God from that wrath that he held against us.
Mm-hmm.
It is the only thing that can save us.
Exactly. No, and for a person, Rick, to say that the church is not important and that the church is really unneeded is really telling us that our Lord died for nothing. Now, I don't know about you, Rick, that makes me a little angry. To say that our Lord died for naught.
And it ought to make us angry. You know, when you think about the eternal scheme of redemption and the pain, the suffering, the agony that Jesus went through on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just read through either the prophetic accounts of Isaiah 53 or read through the actual historical accounts as they were written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they record the suffering that Jesus went through. Jesus stayed on the cross for those 6 hours thereabouts. He stayed on that cross, and it was cruel. And even before he got there, I meant the cruel beating that he took, all of that was for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If God could have saved us and Jesus shed his blood for the church, then why go through all that?
What does that say about the Father? If he was willing to put his Son through that agony when there was not any need to.
I tell you what, it speaks, and this is one of the reasons why it makes people that believe the Bible mad, at angry and upset at this kind of conversation, because it makes God out to be a perverted father.
Mm-hmm.
And we say that almost, I cringe when I say that, and I use the terms together, but you think about how sick God would have been to watch his son go through all of this to purchase something, and that was the purchase price. And then to say, that's really not any value at all.
Right. And so we see then that Jesus evidenced in very clear fashion his attitude toward the essentiality of the church by the price that he paid for its existence. And there is no greater price that a person can pay than his own life.
Tom, can you imagine if somebody went around America and began to talk despairingly about the sacrifice that our young men are making, say, for example, in wars today, or say, for example, they saw absolutely no value in the men who shed their blood in World War II and World War I and wars before that and so forth, and they just saw no value in that at all, and what good was it? You know, that would make Americans mad.
Exactly. It'd be kind of like somebody spitting on Memorial Day, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
And so when we start talking about how that our people today are having a viewpoint that church is of no value, of no importance, and yet at the same time they say they love Jesus and they love God, Rick, in reality, they do not love God. They did not understand God. They did not understand Jesus. They did not understand his sacrifice when they would make such a statement.
You know, it's interesting. In John chapter 17, as Jesus is about to face the cross, in John 17, he offers up a prayer to the Father. And interestingly enough, I want you to listen to what he says here. It says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as to many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus recognizes that his dates, his hours at this time are limited, and he understands the power of the cross. And as the Hebrew writer says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And now we have, as the Hebrew writer would say in Hebrews chapter 10, we have individuals that are stomping on the sacrifice of Christ. Because, listen, they don't understand and appreciate the value that that sacrifice came to purchase.
So you mean to tell me, Rick, if a person claims that they know Jesus and do not have a proper relationship with the church, do not know the church, don't think it's important, you're telling me that they don't really know Jesus?
How could they? Listen, if the church is the household of God,
mm-hmm.
can I really say that I know you if I don't know your family?
Exactly. You know, and so what you're saying here then, and what we're saying is, the Bible says, right? You have heard what men have had to say. They say that the church is not important, but the Bible says the church is so important that Christ shed his blood for it. Friends, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to get that. Even cornpone preachers like me and Rick can understand that the Bible says the church is important because Christ shed his blood for it. Now, remember, the number to call tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also email us a question if you would like. You can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. You can also chime in to our chat room that can be found at knowthetruthradio.org. And remember that there have been some who are having difficulty, but it sounds like and looks like they've got that worked out. On the internet radio, we also want to encourage and are welcoming our HPR network listeners. And so we're happy that you're with us. We're talking about the issue, is the church really important? And there are a lot of people out there, Rick, who are saying the church is not important, that all you need to do is love God. If you know Jesus and love him, that's all you need. The church is really not essential and not important. But we've already shown that's not right, because the essentiality and the importance of the church is seen, first of all, in that Christ shed his blood for the church. That makes it important.
It makes it absolutely essential, regardless of any other discussion we might have
exactly.
about the church or about Christ or about religious matters. You cannot, by the way, you cannot untangle these two items. They go hand in hand, and the Bible talks about them in such terms. You know, the fact that he is the husband of his wife, and the fact that he is the head of the body. I mean, think about that analogy, Tom. That would be like me saying, "Yeah, I know Tom. I've met his head, but I don't know anything. I haven't even seen whether or not he had a body or not." You know, I mean, how ridiculous would that be?
Exactly right. And you don't really know the person by just looking at their face, do you?
Why, no.
So, you know, when you just think of that analogy, it just shows how absurd it is for people to say that the church is not really important. But you know, Rick, excuse me, another way we can show from the Scriptures that the church is vital, that it's important, is that one cannot be in Christ without being in the church. And maybe to preface some of this, you know, we can just think a moment, Rick, about what the Bible says about being in Christ. You know, you can look in Ephesians here, and you can see a number of things that talks about the importance of being in Christ. And you see that phrase, in Christ, in him, throughout the text. For example, in Ephesians 1, verse 3, all spiritual blessings are found where, Rick?
In Christ.
In Christ, you know. And we talk about, down in verse 11, in Christ we have an inheritance. And you can just go on and on and on throughout the epistles and find the importance of being in Christ.
by the way, think about verse number 7, mm-hmm. Where he says, in whom, and that whom is there is Christ.
Exactly.
He says, in whom we have redemption.
That's right.
Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
So look at this connection we have here. We have in him, we just talked about a moment ago that his blood was shed for the church, and it's in him that we have forgiveness of sin through his blood. And there seems to be a little bit of connection coming here, doesn't there, Rick?
Exactly. And, you know, you keep on going down through there, and that's exactly what you have when you get to, say, for example, verse number 22. You have, and he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Again, the relationship between Christ and the church is something that simply I don't know how you could deny it. It's so plain. It's like denying the nose on your face.
You know, I think, Rick, a lot of that it comes from people who are not really willing and have not studied their Bible. Because you cannot study the New Testament and come away with the idea that the church is not important. It's just impossible.
I tell you what a lot of people are doing, Tom. It has to be. They're listening to their preachers.
Exactly.
You know, preachers, gospel preachers, are some of the most beautiful people upon the face of the earth.
Exactly.
I mean, they are a wonderful asset to any society as long as they are living right and as long as they are preaching right.
In light of that, if you're in Hamilton, you know I've used this illustration about little birds. You know, around the springtime, you have this nest, and these little baby birds are in that nest. The mama bird flies up there and is about to give the baby bird some food. Well, the baby bird just open up their mouth, and they swallow whatever mama bird drops in there. You know, it might be an old stink bug or whatever, but they're going to swallow whatever mama drops in. And a lot of time, the audience is like that. They sit back, they open their mouth, they swallow whatever the preacher sets forth. But, you know, Rick, we need to be like the Bereans who search the Scripture to make sure. And it's interesting that who were they checking out there?
The Apostle Paul.
And I guarantee you, if you want to check out the Apostle Paul, you ought to check out me and Rick, too.
Absolutely.
And so I think a lot of that, the people don't think the church is important because they're not in the book. They're not studying their Bible. And they're not seeing the importance of being in the church. Rick, when we talk about the importance of being in the church, we've come to this understanding, first of all, by realizing that Christ, he is the head, and that the church is his body. And we are members of that. You know, when you look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things we might have the preeminence. Now, if Christ is the head of the body, and the church is the body, if the church is not important, then what does that say about our relationship to the church and to Christ?
Well, listen, if you just took a sheet of paper and put out in front of you, it's so easy to me to be able to see how important this is. You look at any photograph, you look at any painting of a person, anything that, or anybody, you walking down the street and you just look at people, there is a head and there is a body that is attached to it. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot to see. You know, if you just had a lot of heads walking around, well, they wouldn't be walking around, would they? Bobbing around, I don't know what it would be, but it would be absolutely valueless to getting around. Any type of association that you and I could have would be awful limited if all that we had was our head.
Exactly.
Now, the head is absolutely essential. I don't think that very few people deny that Jesus being the head of the church is essential, but he is the head of what? The church.
Exactly.
And that's what makes it so important, that we need to understand this relationship between he and salvation. He's the king over a kingdom. Well, if being a citizen of that kingdom is of no value, then what value is the church, you see, or what value is the king? If a king has absolutely nothing to rule over, no subjects to rule over, then what good would he be?
Exactly, you know, and David Harris just sent us an email.
Oh.
And he says, the Holy Spirit through Paul explains it to the Ephesians like this. Unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. You know, if the church is not important, why are we getting instruction that unto him, unto who? Unto Christ. Be the glory where?
In
the
church.
And so, you know, those people who say that Jesus is all that's important, the church is not, well, again, it gets back to people aren't reading the Scriptures.
I think so. And you know, going back to the book of Ephesians, listen, if you want to learn something about the church and its relationship to Jesus, the book of Ephesians tells you about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole purpose of this book.
Ephesians is a great book about the church, isn't it?
We could have spent all of our time right here, couldn't we?
You betcha.
But you think about, we talked about this verse in just the initial relationship. But notice what he says about here, verse number 22 of chapter 1. He says, and he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Now, but I want you to notice the next statement. The church, which is his body. Now, notice what he says about this church, which is the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a powerful statement about the essentiality of the church. It is the fullness of Jesus Christ here upon the earth.
So if you say you know Jesus and you know nothing about the church, or you say the church is not important, then you don't know Jesus.
Well, you certainly don't know the fullness of
exactly,
him, right?
Exactly right.
You know, it'd be like, listen, there are some people that I know from work. There are some people that I know because they're associated with my family. There are some people I know because they live in my neighborhood. But that doesn't really mean that I know them. You see, to know Jesus is to understand who he was, and it's to understand what was important to him. And where do we begin this? What was important to him? The church. How do I know that? He shed his blood.
You know, on the chat box, Steve makes a point that a lot of people are molding God to their own image. And in relation to what we're talking about there, they're molding God into an image where they're saying that to God and to Jesus, the church is not really important. And that's their mold of what God is. But again, you've heard what men have had to say. We need to hear what the Bible has to say. We've seen that the church is essential. It's important to Jesus because he shed his blood for it. We've also noted so far that the church is important and vital because Jesus is the head of the church. And Rick, we are the body of Christ. If the church is not important, then you're not going to be part of the body. Then Christ is not your head, right? He's not going to be head of another body.
That's right.
He's going to be head of his body, his church. And we, as God's people, are a member of that church if we've obeyed the gospel in the way the New Testament says.
Absolutely. And you, if you think about those items here, you have him being the head, and then there's the body, and that makes me, as an individual, a member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think of every one of these analogies. So you have Jesus as the king. He has his kingdom. That makes me a citizen in that kingdom. That makes there a relationship there that is essential.
Mm-hmm.
That means I have freely given myself to as a servant of the king, and therefore I call him Lord. Remember what he said in Luke 6:46, you know, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
Exactly. And so we've got to realize then the importance of the Lord's church. Now it's time for us to take a radio break. We're going to be off the radio for just a few minutes, and we'll have some comments, but we'll still continue to be on Internet radio. You are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton. With me today, a good friend, Rick Popejoy, who preaches for the 9th and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, and we're delighted to have you in our audience tonight. We want to remember that this is a live call-in talk show. If you have any questions or comments about our radio program, we encourage you to call us at 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We want you to realize that tonight we're talking about what some of the people's ideas are concerning the Lord's church. There are some who are saying, Rick, that the Lord's church is not really important, and that really that all you need to know and all that you really have to do is to know the Lord's church, that it's not really important at all. And so, but it's important for us to realize that the Lord's church is important.
Yes, sir. And in fact, when you look on some of the information in the chat window, Denny and Caleb have some excellent comments here. Denny has suggested that a good look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 24 on the day of judgment, Jesus is going to deliver the kingdom to the Father. So if you're not in the church or in the kingdom or in the body or a part of his family, then you're not going to be delivered to the Father. And if you're not, there's really only two choices here. If you're not going to be delivered to the Father, then you're going to be delivered to Satan. Mm-hmm. And so it's either heaven or hell here, and there are no other choices. And so then he brings up an excellent point here based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 24. Mm-hmm. Now, Caleb mentions that Hebrews 10 and 22, how can we draw near to God without the assembly? Where in Hebrews he mentions the importance of that assembly drawing nigh unto God. The Lord died for his church, which is his body, of which we are members. Then Christ died for me individually. He died for Rick Popejoy. Mm-hmm. He died for David Harris and anybody else listening on our audience today. He died for us. Well, what better reason for us to gather together as God's people, because we have something in common here. Christ died for us.
that's another way of showing the importance of the church. And by the way, when we gather together as a body of people, isn't it an encouraging thing?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, think about being all alone. I can't think of anybody more alone than the prophet Jeremiah, for example. Mm-hmm. Could not marry, did not have any children. For most of his life, he was belittled, he was mocked, he was beaten, he was put in stocks, he was put in prison. He did basically his ministry, 60 years of ministering to a dying nation all by himself, with occasionally having someone to come to his aid.
Exactly.
That had to be a hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine living just all without the aid of your spouse, without the aid of your friends and your family? There is a great encouragement with being a part of this grand assembly, or what is referred to as the brotherhood. Peter says, love the brotherhood. Think about what Jesus said in the prayer. He said, in the motto prayer, he would say that we should pray this way: our Father, which art in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Not my Father, but our Father. There is a collective nature to that, and there is such beauty in lifting up our voices of praise and adoration to Him.
Exactly. You know, we get an email here from Brandon Johnson in Lindsay, Oklahoma.
Oh.
And he says, the Bible says, Jesus is the Savior of the body. He's talking about how that the importance of the church is easily seen in Ephesians 5 and verse 23.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the Savior of the body. The group of people that Jesus will save is the church. And if we want salvation, we need to be in the group Jesus said He will save. That's the church. You know, that's a good point, and that tells us that the church is essential. Christ would not be the head of something that's not important, right?
That's right.
And we need to be in that body to be saved. We need to be in His church because, after all, He shed His blood for the church. So when we look at this issue, Rick, about the importance of the Lord's church, we've seen that the Lord's church is important because Jesus shed His blood for the church. And we also realize that one cannot be in Christ without being in the church. We talked about how He is the Savior of the body. And that one cannot be a part of His church if we're not a part of His body. But you know also, Rick, Christ is King, right?
Yes, sir.
And the church is His kingdom. And the kingdom and the church, they're synonymous terms, aren't they?
You know, it's interesting. You look at just a couple of verses here. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, that I will build my church, and the gates of hell, that is his death, would not prevent him from establishing that kingdom. But then he says, very interestingly, he turns around and says to Peter, he says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So if the kingdom and the church are not synonymous here, then here's what you have Jesus doing. And you can imagine that you've commissioned someone to build you a house, and you have this beautiful house up on top of the hill, and they have built it, and then they turn around and give you a set of keys.
Mm-hmm.
But the keys don't go to that house. The keys go to a shack down somewhere in the valley that you haven't ever seen. Well, how ridiculous would that be? I commissioned this house to be built, and I need the keys that go to this house. Jesus built a house, and then He gave Peter the keys to the door that unlocks that house.
Exactly.
So the church and the kingdom are one and the same.
You know, in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 13, it talks about how it says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Now, wait a minute, Tom. Wait a minute here. Let me see if I can get this right. You're saying this verse here, Jesus translated us, we are translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, and we are translated out of darkness. So if the church and the kingdom are synonymous, And the only two kingdoms that exist, right,
mm-hmm.
are the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of his dear son. Then I have to be in one or the other, right?
Exactly. And so if you're saying then, Rick, that Jesus is important but his kingdom is not, then in reality you're in the wrong kingdom. You need to get out of that kingdom and get in the Lord's kingdom, the kingdom that he shed his blood for, the body which he is the head of, the church which he shed his blood for. Now tonight we're talking about the importance of the Lord's church, because again there are so many people out there that are saying the Lord's church is not important, that all you got to do is love Jesus. But we know the Bible says something much different. Now we want you to remember the number to call tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're having a great deal of chatting going on in the chat box, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful that to those who are listening to us are from the HPR network, as well as KnowTheTruthRadio.org. And we want you to remember that our motto is, you have heard what men have had to say, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. We know the church is important because Jesus shed his blood for the church. We know the church is important because he is the head of the body, which is the church. And we know the church is important because Christ is king over his kingdom, the kingdom and the church being synonymous terms. From those, we can see that the Lord's church is very important, very vital, and something Jesus held in the highest regard.
Absolutely. And you know, there are a lot of people that don't seem to really be able to grasp this ideal of the church and the kingdom being synonymous terms. Now, they refer to different things. I don't know why we would really have a problem with this. I can be referred to by many different ways. I'm generally referred to from my children as their father. I'm referred to as a husband from my wife and the relationship that I have from there. So, and I am a son when my mother is speaking of mm-hmm. me. I am a gospel preacher in relationship to the local congregation and so forth. All of these things are synonymous terms in the sense that they all speak of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a male, that I'm a human, I'm a male, and so all of these terms refer to me. Jesus utilizes, and the Bible utilizes terms that help us see the church from different perspectives. It's referred to as the vineyard of God. And as workers in that vineyard, we are to labor in a faithful manner.
Exactly.
And so there are all of these ways in which the Bible seeks to illustrate what the church, the function of the church, the role of the church, the importance of the church is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, you know, you think about all of the prophetic information about all of the work that John the Baptizer did, all of the work that Jesus did. Interesting to me that John the Baptizer came preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. And you know, if the kingdom of God was not at hand, then John was not a prophet. Jesus, by the way, that's Matthew chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. And then in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 17, the Bible says that from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The phrase at hand means that I can reach out and shake hands with you. That's how close it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that was near. Well, if Jesus set up something, what did he set up? You know, if it was nearby and he's mm-hmm. going to establish that kingdom and he says, I'm going to build my church, either the church and the kingdom are two separate entities that came about in the first century, but as many people are misunderstanding this, the church came about and the kingdom is going to come later. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus made a mistake. John the Baptizer made a mistake. Now, if that's true, What does that say about Jesus? That he is not eternal, that he is not omniscient. What does that say about John the Baptist? Jesus, by the way, said he was the greatest prophet ever born of woman. Well, Jesus, again, didn't know what he was talking about. That is, and I cringe, I got hairs on the back of my neck when I say that. I'm saying that if what people say are true about the church and the kingdom not being the same, then what you have is you have Jesus making a mistake and John not making a mistake. So Jesus is not God dwelling in human flesh, and John the Baptizer is not a prophet of God. And in fact, you might as well just crumble up your Bible right now.
Exactly. So what we see here then, putting all this together so far, we're showing the importance of the Lord's church because there are a lot of people out there in our world who are saying yes to Jesus, but no to the church. We've seen that the church is essential because Jesus shed his blood for it. We've seen that it's essential and important because he is the head of the body, which is a church. He is the king of his kingdom, which is the church. One thing that I want us to spend a little bit of time on, our time is swiftly getting past us, but Rick, to be in Christ is to be in his body, which is the church. It's interesting that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, that in Christ Jesus we are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Here's that connection again, right? He shed his blood for the church. And we are brought nigh unto the church by his blood. How important is that?
Listen, again, I think we could have spent the whole program here tonight in the book of Ephesians.
Exactly.
And, you know, you begin there with chapter 1. He's writing to the church. The church is in Christ where all spiritual blessings are. As we talked about earlier, you have in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. The church is the body of Christ. You have, as you mentioned there in chapter 2 and verse number 13, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then in verse number 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. All men, by the way, all men are to flow into this church. Acts 2 and 47. Those that were saved were added to the church. You know, and you continue to read throughout the book of Ephesians, it's over and over and over again. He talks about, by the way, there's one kingdom, there's one body, there's one church. He talks about the unity of all of this. That tells us how important the New Testament church is. You see, Ephesians, one body, made nigh by the blood of Christ, reconciled by the cross, flowing into that body. Reconciliation, forgiveness, redemption of sins, all of that, being close to God, all of that is in the church.
Exactly. And so, again, the importance of the Lord's church. You know, when we look at this, Rick, about the importance of the Lord's church, another thing that's very critical of this, not only that he shed his blood for it and that he's head of the church, he's king of his kingdom, but also notice that all spiritual blessings are in the Lord's church. Now, I'm not the smartest knife in the drawer, but when he says all spiritual blessings are in the church, are there any spiritual blessings anywhere else?
Well, there can be, by the very nature of him saying all spiritual blessings.
We know what all is.
Exactly.
And all spiritual blessings are in Christ.
That's right.
And he, in Christ, and we have to be in Christ to be a part of his church, right? After all, Jesus shed his blood for the church.
And by the way, you think about all of those spiritual blessings there. Just look at Ephesians chapter 1. I mean, we don't have to go any further than that. He begins by saying, verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now notice this. here are the spiritual blessings. He lines them up almost verse by verse, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We are chosen people. By the way, that's a unique and beautiful study. Mm-hmm. The fact that when we do what God has asked us to do, we become a part of those that are the chosen. Verse number 5, having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. How were we chosen and predestined? According to the good pleasure of God's will. It was God's will who said, if you believe that I am he, that is, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you repent of your sins, if you confess the sweet name of Jesus, if you are buried in the watery grave of baptism for and unto the remission of your sins, then you will be a part of my chosen. That predestined will makes us a part of the blessed people.
That is Bible predestination and not Calvinistic predestination.
Amen. You know? That's exactly right. But he continues here, verse number 3, or verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In whom? Here's the beloved, in whom we have, here's those blessings, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Verse number 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us. Verse number 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Verse number 10, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Verse number 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. I mean, you could go on and on with all of these spiritual blessings that are given to us in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, by the way, you drop down to verse 22 and 23. Where is the in Christ Jesus? By the way, back up just a couple of pages in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, verse number 26 and 27. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, he says, have put on Christ. We clothe ourselves with the beauty, the glory, the magnificent nature of Jesus Christ only after we have obeyed the gospel and been baptized into that one body. That tells you the importance of
church. Exactly. And so as we bring all of these things together, the thing we're talking about in this hour, and we've had some technical difficulty, and I'm sure some people have gone in and out, and I think we have it fixed now, but let's bring you back up to snuff to where we are. We talked about how there are some people who are saying the church is not important and that the love of God is all that you need. You just don't need to be a good person. Church is not really important, and you can just do just as well as being out there in the deer stand and loving God, and that's all you really need to do. But, you know, the Bible says something much, much different. We see the essentiality and the importance of the Lord's church as seen in Christ being willing to shed his blood for the church. We see the importance of the Lord's church because Christ is the head of the body, and we've seen the body is the church. That makes it important. We've seen how that Christ is the king of his kingdom, and that the church and the kingdom are the same. Again, that shows the Lord's church is important. And we talked about how that being in the body, his body is part of being a part of the church. And then anything could not be more clear in making the church important in that all spiritual blessings are in the church. And Rick did a good job in summarizing what we saw there in Ephesians chapter 1. And you know, Rick, we won't even be able to get to tonight the importance of the Lord's church as is seen in Old Testament prophecy. You know, and we could spend probably a whole hour just talking about that one issue. But when we think about this, you know, in a nutshell, Rick, in the Old Testament and concerning the church, we see that the church is important because God prophesied of this kingdom. Now, if it's not important, why all the Old Testament prophecy? If it's something we ought not to give much consideration to, why all of the allusions and the prophecies concerning the Old Testament if it's not important? That alone, among the other things we've already seen, shows us that the church is very important, right, Rick?
Absolutely. And you think about those beautiful prophecies. Listen, you can think about them from the vantage point of the twos, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Isaiah 2. You have Micah 2. You have Daniel 2. You have Joel 2. And all of those are Pentecost pointers. They are pointing to a time that is called the last days, when God would set up something that was very special and very important. Listen to how he says, I know we got just a few minutes here, so you tell me when I need to break off here, but in Isaiah 2, he says in verse number 2, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mount of the Lord's house. Now listen, if you're calling the church unimportant, you're going to have to not answer to you and me tonight, but you're going to one day answer to the Lord who set up his house and sent his son to die for it. You know, and he talks about the nature and the characteristics of that. But also, you think about Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now, the days of what kings? He describes the historical development all the way up to the Roman kings. And in the days of those kings,
1 minute,
Jesus set up his kingdom.
Well, and you know, and really, that's about as far as we're going to be able to go tonight, Rick. We have about 1 minute left on our show, and we want to remind people how happy we are that you're here in the audience. Now, there's a question that we have here. Is there any good home Bible studies the audience can get a hold of if they would like to have further study on this topic? Rick, do you have something off the top of your head that we might be able to sit forth, or maybe we can put on the chat box later on?
We can put some things on the chat box, but I'll tell you what, if they'll give you a call, if they'll post on the website or on the email, we'll make sure that we give them some material on this. There, and Caleb makes a good point here, there's a lot of good information that we can get into their hands by simply a phone call or simply an email to us.
Right,
we'll
so
make
you,
sure.
So if you'll email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, that email will come to my email address, and I'll make sure that I get you, Rick and I talk about it, talk to David about it, and find you some material that you can study about this topic. We want to again thank Rick for filling in tonight. He's going to fill in again for us later on. We're just so thankful that he's here, that we have good men like that in the area that can fill in well. We're thankful for you in the audience. We pray that you will be with, the Lord will be with you as you do his will. And I'm going to let Rick have about the last final 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Wow, that means I've got to really go pretty good here, but I'll tell you this, I have thoroughly enjoyed this. A good Bible study, to me, I'd rather have a good Bible study than watch the Super Bowl. I don't remember who won the last six Super Bowls, but I'll tell you what, a good Bible study like we've had here tonight is so precious and so important.
Good having our audience, and we'll see you next week. You are listening, you have been listening to the HPR Network.